The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at his door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to his deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages that I may preach there also, for this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's gospel may not have sounded much like a temptation to Jesus. When you think about Jesus' temptations, we think about those 40 days in the desert when he struggled with the devil. But there is just as important a temptation in today's gospel for him, and it set the direction of his life. And if that applies to us, it might also set the direction of our lives. That might be hard to see in this busy agenda in today's gospel, a sort of life in the day of Jesus of Nazareth. This began last Sunday when Jesus went to Capernaum and preached and healed in the synagogue. So today, after the synagogue service, he's invited to the Sabbath dinner at Peter's house. But Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever, maybe with the flu. And Jesus knew he was never going to get a free meal that way if she was that ill, so he healed her, and then she got up and served everybody. But that's not the temptation that I'm talking about. After meal, there's a knock on the door, and when Jesus opened it, he finds all kinds of people asking for help. So he heals many, casts out many demons, generally has a pretty big revival. So you would think that when that's all over and Jesus feels pretty good about all that he's done that day, you'd think he'd say, "Now I need my Z's." But no, he gets up early in the morning before dawn and goes off to a deserted place to pray. Now that's important because whenever that happens in the Gospel of Mark, it means that Jesus is under some stress to find out what God really asks of him. That's when the temptation happened, and it happens in Peter's words. Apparently, Peter and the others noticed that empty bed, wondered where Jesus was, and apparently a lot of other people did too. They were hoping for another day of healing. So Peter said it, "Everybody is looking for you." That's as if Peter said, "You're the man. The whole town is talking about you. This is your day in the sun." But Jesus was ready with his response. In those early morning hours, he probably thought about how comfortable it would be to stay there in Capernaum. Peter's mother-in-law would probably have loved to go on cooking for him as long as he wanted it. And the townspeople, coming to admire him and spreading the word about his wonders and wanting to have a marvelous healer right there in their hometown, they were probably willing to do anything to keep him there, like high-speed internet and Wi-Fi and HDTV. He could be the Capernaum idol, but that was the temptation, to stay and be comfortable in Capernaum. That was not Jesus' response to the temptation, though. Instead, he said, "Let's move on. I have to proclaim the good news everywhere. That is my job. That's what I came to do. And everywhere eventually meant Jerusalem, where he wasn't so much idolized as crucified. Maybe that's when the apostle said, we should have stayed in Capernaum. But if Jesus had stayed in Capernaum, we might never have heard about him. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, have you ever been at a stage in your life, or maybe now you are at a stage in your life, when things are pretty comfortable, and the temptation is to stay there and enjoy it, step away from the rush and the grind, and say to yourself, I deserve this. I earned it. I work hard for this. That can be your Capernaum. Or maybe you're as rushed all day as Jesus was with schoolwork or parent work or work or whatever, and wish you could get away from it all. You look for your Capernaum. Mark seems to tell this story in his gospel because he wants those hearing his gospel, like we are today, to ask ourselves about our own choices in life. He knows there are people that are often tempted to use only part of their gifts to reach a point in their lives where they are comfortable, maybe well-established and well thought of in their own communities, and enjoying their security. Why stick out their neck? Why change? Or they feel so busy that choices are made for them that they need to begin making their own. Maybe Paul in our second reading felt that way or was tempted because he convinced himself that he didn't have any choice, but was compelled to preach the gospel. To do otherwise would have been a cop-out, a Capernaum. And for Paul, breaking away from his Capernaum became his source of greatness. And Job, he had to struggle out of that meaningless existence described in our first reading, overwhelmed in his losses. He had to begin to trust God's will for him, energize his faith again, choose how he would react, and eventually find peace and happiness again. Here's a more contemporary example. Recently, a 27-year-old man named Mason Wartman left a well-paying job on Wall Street, we could call his Capernaum, to return to his hometown in Philadelphia to open his own Rose's Pizza Shop. There he began selling pizza at $1 a slice. That was his business plan, his business model. Business picked up. One day, a customer said he liked to pay forward $1 for some homeless person. The homeless often came into that pizza shop because the pizza was cheap, but it was good. So he wanted to pay $1 for some homeless man. Mason wrote the note on the post on a post-it note and put it up on the wall, $1 slice. Then when a homeless person came in, he took down the post-it note and gave it to the homeless person with a free pizza. Well, word got around, and before long, that back wall of Rose's Pizza's shop was full of color, full of post-it notes, full of $1 gifts to the homeless. In fact, in 9 months, 8,400 post-it notes were up on that wall for 8,400 slices of pizza to be given to the homeless. And it made a big difference for some of them. One of them wrote a thank you post-it note of his own, and he said, I just want to thank everyone that donated to Rose's. It gave me the opportunity to get back on my feet. I start a new job tomorrow. Everybody wants the world to change, but in order for that to happen, we have to change ourselves. And Rose's Pizza is a great example of that. On a recent Ellen DeGeneres show, the owner, Mason Wartman, was on, and he said, do I want to go back to Wall Street? I couldn't say to the homeless, sorry, we're done. No way. Mason left his Capernaum in a big way, but thousands of others left their little Capernaums to post a note for a $1 slice of pizza for some homeless person. May our Eucharist today help us to look at our own lives as we have looked at the life of Jesus and see whether it's time for us also to move out of our Capernaum. Amen.